Millions of cars on British roads will soon be under surveillance. Thousands of cameras set up along major highways, back roads, and busy intersections will read the license plates of every car that passes. The information then collected and stored for 2 years in a national database. Officials say the goal is to deny criminals the use of the roads. Police in Britain applaud the new system as a useful tool in tracking down criminals. Civil libertarians say the proposal smacks of Big Brother. To tell us more about this, we are joined by Nick Fielding, a British journalist and author, who we talk to from time to time to find out about life in Britain. Hello, Nick.
Good afternoon to you, Frank. How are you?
I couldn't be better, but then again, nobody's watching me. I understand there are already lots of cameras set up in Britain, so is anybody surprised by this? You have cameras surveilling cars.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, Britain is probably one of the most highly surveilled countries in the world. This has been a phenomenon which has been developing over a number of years. We obviously have a congestion control system based in central London, which operates on the basis of vehicle number plate recognition. That's been in place now for several years. And we've also had for some time surveillance of most of the major motorways with that information being available to the law enforcement agencies. For example, with the recent London bombings, one of the first things that the police did was to run checks on all the motorway cameras to try and pick up the vehicle which they knew that the bombers had driven from Leeds in the north of the country down towards London, and they were successful in doing that. And another recent case, which on the positive side, Frank, where there was a shooting of a police woman officer and in the north of the country in Bradford. And the police were able on that occasion to pick out the vehicle from the motorway surveillance cameras. Those are all the positive things. On the other hand, there's recently been a case of a man who was asked to take off his hat, an elderly gentleman asked to take off his hat in a pub because they said that the cameras in the pub couldn't recognize his face if he kept his hat on, and that it was company policy in that particular bar to require all patrons to remove their hats. So it can go to one from one extreme to the other.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacia with my guest Nick Fielding, a journalist and author, and we're talking about the addition of surveillance cameras in Great Britain these days. So what's new about this new proposal?
Well, the new element of it, in a sense, is the extent of it. I think nothing individually about it is new, but they're saying now that all major highways, key back roads, and vital intersections throughout the UK, throughout England and Wales, will in future be monitored. And they're intending to roll this system out from March onwards. As I say, there are already thousands of surveillance cameras, and they play a greater and greater part in police investigations, and very successfully. One estimate is that these new cameras, when they come in, could potentially increase arrests per officer by a factor of 10, and it's an extraordinary figure, but that is one figure that has been reported.
Wow. So what's the reaction among the British people?
Well, there hasn't been a huge reaction on the specific question of the surveillance cameras. There is some unhappiness. There's certainly a campaign against speed cameras, which are regularly vandalized and towed away, pulled down, and so on. But on these cameras, I think partly because certainly if you're on a motorway, your chances of actually seeing a camera are almost zero. They're very small and inconspicuous, and so they don't figure in people's lives. It's only when the only thing they hear about them is when something happens, and then it's generally a success story. So there's quite positive reinforcement of the message. At the same time, there's plenty of civil libertarians who will argue that they are, in a sense, taking away the driver's freedom on the road, knowing that they're going to be surveilled. And that, in fact, the substantial databases can be built up over several years, which will allow patterns to be watched and so on and so forth. All these kind of things are worrying civil rights groups.
I wonder how this breaks down politically in Great Britain and how that would compare to the reaction in the United States.
Well, it's quite difficult to discern political differences on this. There are very substantial differences on the question of identity cards, of which there is enormous opposition to identity cards in this country. They're available everywhere in Europe at the moment. I mean, you can travel to the UK quite easily on a plastic card, a very small plastic card, just an ID card from another European country. But British people have historically and always reacted against the idea of this form of security in the form of identity cards, but they seem to have accepted as generally a good thing the surveillance cameras.
Yeah, because I know that certainly Great Britain has more restrictions on its journalists, for instance. Libel laws are a little bit tighter than I think Americans might be willing to accept.
That's absolutely true. The laws here are ferocious compared on libel compared to the United States, and they make the journalism that much harder. But that is argued about from time to time. It swings one way and then another. But on the issue of identity cards in particular, there's always been a kind of blanket resistance. That's been something which has historically been something that the British won't put up with.
Won't put up with that. Well, on a related subject, I wonder if you could give us an update on the investigation into the London bombings last summer.
Well, obviously in the case of the first bombings on the 7th of July, there was to start with a police inquiry, but because almost all of the suspects had died in the incident itself, the inquiry tailed off quite rapidly, and then towards the end of the year, I think the police realised there was a lot more to be got from looking into this scenario in much more detail. So in recent months, a massive amount of resources, police resources, have been put into trying to understand and to develop the kind of networks within what to most of the police authority and the security agencies is an unknown social network into the Asian community in Britain. And they've been developing that work. There has been the odd arrest following the bombings in connection with that inquiry, and there are people facing charges.
Mm-hmm.
On the second bombing, I can't really speak about that very much because people have now been charged and are facing court appearances. So it's difficult for me to speak about that legally here. That's one of the restrictions.
One of the restrictions.
But, it appears that there's been a very successful police operation following up on from those second abandoned bombings. As you recall, the devices didn't explode, and a number of suspects left the scene and were later apprehended. That's the situation there, and most of those people are now facing charges.
All right, Nick, thank you very much.
Thank you. Great pleasure to talk to you.
Nick Fielding is a journalist and author. He spoke with us from his home in London. This is Talk of the Nation, produced by Becky Vlamis, Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Megan Moline, Odette Youssef, and Leslie Bishop. Gwen Outen directs the program. Sarah Handel is our production assistant. Our technical director, Kimberly Jones. She gets engineering help from Michael Schweppe and Kevin Waite. Talk of the Nation's theme music composed by Greg Smith. Talk of the Nation's senior producer, Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. Bill Marimo is the acting vice president for news. The managing editor is Barbara Rehm. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stachow.